Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome in, week 17 of the National Football League, the win and go home kind of weekend. And that is the theme for the day. Of course, you know, if you win, you're kind of in. If you up, Chuck, and you need help, it ain't looking too good. Welcome in to the fastest 60 minutes of sports. Yours truly at the helm with the glorious hot sounds of the whispers of And the Beat Goes On in the background. We have come 17 weeks deep into the National Football League season. And for many teams, this is it. You either show up or you shut up. For those ready to play, the beat will go on. For those who might have a whole different perspective on today, well, you may be singing something like this. Yeah. It's kind of like that today.
She said your party's jumping.
Well,
and everybody's having a good time.
So they thought.
And you know what's going through my mind.
Go.
And kick off these shoes.
I'm a deck.
Why you fixing me a train?
I'd be the New York Times,
but. And it's some of them down home blue. She said, you know, I don't get out much on the town.
Yeah.
And you know.
Check this out. So, if you're in Chicago today, you are a little bit geeked up, but nothing more than you still have a shot. A couple of things have to happen in your favor, though, for this to really work out, Chicago Bear fans. Today. Number one, you've got to beat Detroit. That has to happen, bar none. Step number two, Green Bay has to beat Minnesota. Your vaunted, hated enemy for all these years, the Green Bay Packers, has to win for you to get in. Who would have ever thought that that would be the case when the Bears were 7-1 early on in the season, riding high, a healthy Jay Cutler, a healthy dose of a great defensive output. I mean, this was just everything rolling. And instead, you look up now, you're 8-6. I'm sorry, you're 9-6. Week 17's here, and you need your arch nemesis, the Green Bay Packers, to help you get into the playoffs. Sad times are these. So sad are these times that the Bears need the Packers to get him into the playoffs. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Fast 60 Minutes of Sports is rolling and rocking. A lot of bowl games to talk about. A lot of fun things to talk about in the world of sports. But this is going to be so NFL intensive for the next 57 minutes. Don't even kid yourself. This is all going to be about the National Football League. And whether or not your team, I'm praying for those of you on the edge, whether or not your team gets in, do they get in? We'll run down the scenario. We'll get our hands on them. There's a lot of things floating around. And then we got to look forward for the teams that are already done. What's your plan? What is the real plan for the future? So let's see. Have ESPN's NFL playoff machine, which is always fun. And this will basically tell me, based on no other option than what we believe to be the case, those things that are, I guess, relevant to today, of wins and what impact it may or may not have on the playoff scenario. Now, right now, and we'll talk AFC first. Let's do AFC first, because that looks like a lot more stable right now, and a lot less dynamic than the NFC. So, a couple of games really don't matter. There's no scenario for Atlanta to lose the money. They are the best thing to do after today, hopefully when they take care of Tampa Bay. That's all sort of tripping before they become the Tuesday. Okay. Should Green Bay loses, two things go haywire. One, obviously they're not the Tuesday. San Francisco becomes the Tuesday, then Green Bay first. Minnesota becomes the 60 for winning that game, and then here to eliminate. But I don't think that as to whether or not, should Denver lose, Denver can become the first one again. Playing Kansas City, that's probably not. Let's do the East first. All right, so should the Houston Texans win their game, they're the one, they'll be 13-3, and that'll be it. Man up and win this game. Only thing is changing. Denver then becomes the one seed, New England the two, Houston becomes the three, and they'll have to play on Wild Card weekend as opposed to having that week off. So that game's important to Houston and to the Indianapolis Colts. Certainly it's important to the Denver Broncos. They would love to have that one seed. And it really is the difference between being the one seed, or I believe it's the one or the three. So if Denver loses, New England becomes the one seed, Houston then becomes the two, and Denver becomes the three. That's kind of crazy. So a lot of fun scenarios there. But nonetheless, we think Denver to be Kansas City. And so we project Denver to actually be the one seed, New England to be the two, Houston then to be the three, which I know was a bit of a shock. The only way the New England Patriots aren't the two seed is if they lose to the Miami Dolphins, in which case the Houston Texans would then be the two seed. But again, all three teams are in the playoff. It's just a matter of who's going to play Wild Card weekend or not. All right. Let's continue on. Based purely on matchups today, let's assume the Bengals actually win today. It doesn't really matter. They're going to be the sixth seed no matter what. Indianapolis Colts, win or lose, are going to be the fifth seed. That's not going to change. So, as we said, the AFC is largely set. It's Denver, Houston, Cincinnati, New England, Indianapolis, and Baltimore. Those are the teams. Let's see, what happens if the Ravens lose today? Where is the Ravens game? There it is. They're playing. Oh, they're playing Cincinnati. So does that change anything? Yeah, so the difference between the third and the fourth seed, again, it's all a matter of seeding, but the teams are the same. So, all that will get flushed out in a couple of hours after the 1 o'clock games have all been played. So we believe that to be the case. Now, here are the projected rankings based on some of the things that we already have projected across the board. Your NFC is absolutely is dynamic. It's not static by any stretch. It's not static by any stretch of the imagination. It's truly dynamic. Atlanta is the one seed. That's not going to change. The only thing that could change is San Francisco becoming the two, Green Bay becoming the three. Green Bay becomes the three if they lose to Minnesota. Okay, if they beat Minnesota, which I would think they would want to just to have that bye, then they usher in Chicago, and it makes San Francisco the three seed. What it also means is the Bears in the first round would have to go to San Francisco. Seattle, who is the five seed, would then have to go to Washington. And I'm going to tell you, and I said it before, I'll say it again, no one wants to play Seattle. No one, okay? Not a soul in his mama wants to play the Seattle Seahawks right now. That team is on fire. They are a player. It is a matchup nightmare with their corners, a strong running game, big defense coming out of Seattle. And again, even though they're on the road, that's Seattle. And Washington will give them a good game. Don't misunderstand me, but Seattle's 10-5. And the only reason they are the five seed is because if Washington wins today, they win that division, and that is the other playoff position. Now, here's what could hose the Washington Redskins. A loss to the Dallas Cowboys. A loss to the Dallas Cowboys means the Redskins are out of the playoff picture completely. Dallas then becomes the 4 seed, and Seattle simply has to travel to Dallas. It's that simple. Okay. Again, nothing else happens above that. So the Redskins and Dallas control their own playoff destiny. All right? So we're clear. The Seattle Seahawks, on the other hand, even if they win today, they'd be 11-5. They cannot improve their seeding, even with a win, because the Niners have that division sewn up. The only way, what happens if the Niners lose to Arizona today? Then Seattle gets the division. So there is a little bit of potential here. If the Arizona Cardinals can raise up and beat the Niners, which we're not anticipating, the game's in San Francisco, but if they were able to do so, it would mean Seattle would win the division, and the Bears would have to go to Seattle to play. If you're a Chicago Bear fan, yeah, you want to get in the playoffs, but you got really two choices. You're either going to go to Seattle, you're going to go to San Francisco in that first round. Neither place is going to be very, very friendly. Again, the Bears should have beaten Seattle in the middle of the season. They didn't get it done. It is what it is. But again, everyone wants a shot to get in. And for many of these coaches, some of them are fighting for their jobs. Like Marvin Lewis has said, let's run down the coaches. I mean, Denver's fine. Houston's fine. Their coaching staffs are fine. Baltimore's okay. New England with Belichick's fine. Indianapolis is fine. Chuck Strong, you know, Marvin in Cincinnati is fine. Atlanta's fine. Green Bay's fine. I'm not so sure that Lovie Smith is fine in Chicago. He's got way too much talent on his squad. And some of the decisions, and I hark about this on blogs all over the nation, I hark on this. Lovie Smith makes some of the dumbest decisions as a coach in-game. We're talking in-game decisions, okay? I don't know how many right decisions are made, but the glaring bad ones are really, 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 really glaring, okay? I'll harken back to the challenge when everyone and their brother can see that the player's knee is down, and yet he's challenging. I don't know who up in that booth is in his ear, who he has so much faith in that he's not paying attention like the rest of the nation is to the same set of highlights that the NFL referees are looking at. But if we can clearly see it, someone up there has to clearly see it. Whoever's in his ear is either needs to be fired, or if that is just him thinking he saw something live action that the rest of the nation didn't see in a replay, well, then Lovie needs to be gone. It's that simple. I don't know how good the Bears would be with a John Gruden or Bill Cowher at the helm, but I venture they'd be awfully good, okay, moving forward. 12 past the hour, fastest 6 minutes of sports. This is your playoff edition. Let's take a quick little segue from the playoff picture, run down our picks for today's games, and again, a lot of this will be kind of a piggyback on the other. We'll also get to your bowl games. A lot of bowl games that were played yesterday, a lot coming over the next 48 hours, with New Year's Day on the horizon. Of course, the BCS national title game, Notre Dame-Alabama on the 7th. Yours truly will probably be back up in the northern provinces at that point. But until that time comes, let's run this down. Today's 1 o'clock games, Tampa Bay at Atlanta. There's no reason Tampa Bay should have a shot in this game. I'm looking at 14 prognosticators and 12 have Atlanta winning that game. For those of you going to the window today with your change to put it on a team, this one should relatively be easy. The New York Jets at Buffalo. Buffalo. I'm not even sure if the Jets can get out of their own way. They're going to put Mark Sanchez back at quarterback today. We'll see what, if anything, that does to help out the Jets' causes as they get ready for what should be a really, 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 really peaceful offseason. They have truly gone gentle into that good night of the season. Baltimore at Cincinnati. This game is much more important to the Bengals than it is to Baltimore. Only one prognosticator has Baltimore winning this game. It is in Cincinnati. Baltimore is not at full strength on defense. We shall see. I like the Bengals to win that game. Chicago at Detroit. The Bears, Lions. 10 prognosticators have the Bears winning this game. 4 have the Lions winning it. The Bears have historically found ways to lose games in Ford Field to a Lions team that is much better than its record will pronounce. The Bears are playing for their playoff lives. They do tend to raise up and play out of their minds when games like this are on the line. So look for the Bears to win this game. Look for Matt Forte to see some action. That ankle's still not 100%. Look for Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, maybe even a Devin Hester and Earl Bennett sighting may make the difference in this game. It certainly could come down to the leg of Olindo Mari to give the Bears a shot at the playoffs to win this game. The Jacksonville Jaguars at Tennessee, a game probably nobody's watching, but the Tennessee Titans should handle Jacksonville. Only one prognosticator, and that is an ActiScore computerized generator, has Jacksonville even remotely in this game. Titans. Houston at Indianapolis. Now, this one will be fun. You had five prognosticators thinking that the Indianapolis Colts can shock the world by beating Houston. Of course, they are at home. They play well at home. Houston's motivation has to be the one seed. You win, you're the one seed. Everything has to come through Houston. You lose, you're the three, and things change dramatically. So, there's motivation on both sides. Don't know if it's going to make a difference. For my money, I'm going to actually ride the Indianapolis Colts at home today just to have some fun. Carolina at New Orleans. The New Orleans Saints have been one of the hottest teams the last 3 weeks in football. That's not going to change. They just signed their head coach up for the next 5 years, a nice long extension. Peyton's in-house. So Carolina at New Orleans should be a lot of fun now because Cam Newton does like to play against that soft defense. But look for Drew Brees to put up big numbers today and the Saints to continue to roll as they get ready for what should be a really, really fun 2013 campaign. The Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. Could this be Landy Reid's last game? Certainly looks that way. The Giants fighting for their playoff lives as well. They need all kinds of help. The Giants currently sitting at 8-7. Do they even have 8 wins? Are they 7-8? We'll have to look that up. Anyway, the fact is they need Green Bay to win, Minnesota to lose, they need the Bears to lose, they need Dallas to lose, to even have an outside shot. They need so much help. They need an act of God to get them into the playoffs this year. And the one thing they've got is they're playing Philadelphia in New York today, so that may bode well for them at least to get the win. Look for the Giants to play well. Again, they know they're playing for their playoff lives, but even after they win this game, they've got to get some help. The Cleveland Browns at Pittsburgh. Well, Pittsburgh's already eliminated, but look for Cleveland, who's a much improved football team, to give Pittsburgh a game. Earlier in the season, for that first half, Cleveland was actually beating Pittsburgh. They outplayed them pretty well and ultimately wound up choking in the end. Cleveland is learning how to win football games. Even though no one gives Cleveland a shot in this game because it's in Pittsburgh, look for Cleveland to play well. Yeah, I don't know if they'll shock the world, but I think they'll play well. In the end, I think Pittsburgh finds a way to get it done. Kansas City at Denver. There's no reason. Now, this is going to sound bad. You normally would say Kansas City shouldn't even show up, but they obviously will. They'll obviously play hard. Denver is just a tremendously talented team on both sides of the football. Denver should win this game and ultimately become that one seed once Indianapolis takes care of Houston today. Green Bay at Minnesota, indoors. Well, we didn't think Minnesota could go to Houston and get it done. Now can Minnesota hold serve at home? Well, apparently five prognosticators seem to think they can. I don't know if I agree with him. Green Bay is playing at such a high level. Green Bay wants that first week off. Green Bay wins. They're the two seed. They get that first week off. Green Bay loses, and they'll be playing Minnesota 1 week later, and it's time in Green Bay. It is very difficult. It's very, very difficult to beat any team three times in a row. So if you're the Green Bay Packers, you better handle business against Minnesota and handle that today. Fair to do so will mean you'll be dealing with another dose of Adrian Peterson another week from today. Miami at New England. Oh, by the way, Green Bay's going to win that game. Miami at New England. New England fighting for a higher seed needs to win this game. Miami, most of those guys are playing for jobs for next year. They've had a good season. Again, they weren't expected to do much. They're a good young team, but expect New England to handle business. New England's at home as well. Oakland at San Diego. San Diego should handle Oakland today. Again, Oakland's got some big-time issues. Palmer's got the rib issue going on. The Chargers have played better as of late. They look like the Chargers we hoped that we'd have early in the season. Yeah, look for them to handle business. Arizona at San Francisco. I know the Cardinals have got quarterback woes of the nth degree, and the Niners are basically fighting for what would be their division because that division is still up in the air. But look for the Niners to find a way to get it done at home today. But don't be surprised if you see a Patrick Peterson again. Teams in the division have given the 49ers fits. Just ask the Rams. They've given the 49ers absolute fits. St. Louis at Seattle. While the Rams don't tend to play Seattle as well as they play the Niners, it's still the Rams, and Jeff Fisher will have them playing hard. Look for Seattle to find a way to get this thing done today and put all the pressure on the 49ers to take care of business at home. Because failure for any one of the teams to do so changes the season. Now, both teams are in the playoffs. It's a done deal. It's just a matter of where they're going to be seated. If you're the Chicago Bears, you win today, you get two choices. Either going to San Francisco or you're going to Seattle. Neither of which is going to be a friendly place. Dallas at Washington. This is the 8 o'clock affair tonight. Everyone and their brother, all crime stops, all everything goes haywire, everything stops tonight when Dallas and Washington kick off. Why? Because both these teams are playing for their playoff lives. Winner goes to the playoffs. Loser goes home. It's that simple. It is really that simple. The winner gets the division. The other gets to watch. For my money tonight, the game is in Washington. RG3 will be on stage in front of the nation. I think I agree with the 9 prognosticators that have the Redskins winning this game. As good as Dallas has played with Dez Bryant and Tony Romo, I do not see them taking out Alfred Morris, RG3, and the Washington Redskins. I think the Redskins get it done tonight. I don't think it'll be pretty, but I think they'll put up just enough points. I could see a 31-28 game just to get it done. So that's it for your NFL picks from yours truly. Let's see. What is going on? 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 That's actually kind of funny. All right, let's put that aside for a minute. Let's get back to ESPN and look at some of these bowl games from last night. Take a break from the NFL just real quick. As always, we want to hit on as much as possible. I understand there was a UFC event last night. Blah, 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 blah. Some Segway music, man. All righty. To the bowl schedule. Well, that's funny. We got a bunch of scores, but I don't... Are we getting the games? This is fun. All right, let's just run down them. We'll have some fun. Let's just run down. It makes no difference. Let's see. Oh, that's funny. We have all this. Okay, here we go. We did get that. Okay, good. So I guess it's probably apropos that I give you the actual name of the bowl game that was played. Not that you necessarily care what the outcome of the Sheridan Hawaii Bowl was, but it was played on the 24th before Christmas. SMU, a 43-10 winner over Fresno State. This may be just a little odd, but it'll work. All right, one of the most entertaining bowl games so far this season, Arizona 49-40 winner over Nevada in the Gildan New Mexico Bowl. You know, whatever happened to the 5th, 15th, 55th, 60th annual bowl game? Those are all gone, huh? And then we've just all gone complete sponsorship now, the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl. Well, the Poinsettia Bowl has been around for a long time, but we've just given up on the number of how many times it's occurred. All right, anyway, BYU takes care of San Diego State 23-6 in that game. What's our next bowl game up? The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Seriously? Those are the names. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Utah State, a 41-15 winner. Oh, they really played that? Oh, what have we come to? What have we come to? All right, rolling on. The Beef O'Brady's Bowl in St. Petersburg. Wow. University of Central Florida, 38, Ball State, 17. Moving on. I'm loving the name. The R.L. Carriers New Orleans Bowl. It's been around for a couple of years now. Louisiana Lafayette 43, East Carolina 34. Very entertaining football game. Don't know how many players we'll see come off that field and be there on Sundays, but hey, you never know. You never know. NFL scouts are certainly better than they have been. The Mako Bowl. That's right, the Mako Painting Company. The Mako, they paint your auto car. They have a bowl game and played in Las Vegas. Boise State at 11-2 takes on Washington 28-26. Boise State gets it done. I'm sure that was probably a very entertaining game. Came down to field goals late. No. We're not going to struggle with this. I still get a really big kick out of the name. The Little Caesars Bowl has been around for a few years now. I don't know how many times they've done it, but anyway. Central Michigan 24, Western Kentucky 21. Again, all you got to do is be bowl eligible, right? That's all you got to do. Once you're bowl eligible, all kinds of good things happen to you. Just got to get bowl eligible. All right. We got a Bowling Green sighting in the Military Bowl, presented by Northrop Grumman, San Jose 29, Bowling Green 20, in that game. In one of the more entertaining bowl games of the season, the Belk Bowl. That's what it was called, ladies and gentlemen, the Belk Bowl. Cincinnati, a 48-34 win over Duke. Duke became bowl eligible. It finished the season at 6-7, 3-5 in the ACC, but it's just fun to see Duke, a basketball school, in a college football bowl game. Yeah. Now, if you haven't been paying attention to college football throughout the season, one of the most entertaining offenses is in Baylor University. And they put that on display in the Bridgepoint Education Holiday Bowl against UCLA, who was ranked number 17th at the time. Final score, Baylor 49, UCLA 26. This game was 38-10 at halftime. Okay, Baylor can score and score in bunches. All right, the defense has been suspect. I mean, you're going to hear from some of those cats on Baylor on Sundays in the very, 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 very near future. What else? What's this one? We've done that one. We've done that one. Are we getting close to some of the big boys now? Oh, here's a couple we haven't talked about yet. Okay. The AdvoCare V100 Independence Bowl. The Independence Bowl's been around for a lot of years. Ohio University, 45. Louisiana Monroe, 14. Both teams above 500. That's always nice. A 9-4 team. Beats an 8-5 team. At least it's competitive. Let's see. Did those. One of the more boring bowl games this year, Virginia Tech at Rutgers. This game was 10-0 late, and Vatek got it together. I believe it was a defensive touchdown and a late overtime field goal that literally ices the game for Virginia Tech. Not a pretty game by stretch of the imagination, but you know, Beamer does get his 20th consecutive winning season for Virginia Tech, so kudos to them. One of the absolutely more entertaining games was the Texas Tech-Minnesota game. This Minnesota had this game won and literally let this one slip away. At one point in this game, I want to say this score was 31-24. And next thing you know, and again, this is why you play the game. A late field goal, a couple of mishaps on Minnesota, and an inability to get first downs when you need to, critical first downs. And it's one of the reasons Texas Tech finishes up 8-5, and Minnesota, even though bowl eligible, finishes up below 500 at 6-7, only 2-6 in the Big Ten. But a fun game, 34-31, Texas Tech takes that one. Let's see. What else is on the horizon? Rice and Air Force. Rice takes it 33-14 in the Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl. I'm still tripping on these names. And in a game that many thought would be much more high-scoring, Syracuse 38-14 over West Virginia in the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. You know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to talk about these crazy names. All right. I don't know how many times the Fight Hunger Bowl has gone on, but for the Kraft-sponsored Fight Hunger Bowl this year saw Arizona State put up 62 points on Navy. Both teams 8-5 as they finish off the year. Fun game if you like offense, especially if you're an Arizona State fan. I think Kraft just needed a tax write-off. That's why they created this one. But anyway, that's just one man's opinion. What do I know? Oregon State, 13th ranked in the nation, takes on Texas last night in a game that wound up being very, very entertaining. And Texas stuns Oregon State 31-27 with 14 points in the fourth quarter to get it done. Again, a lot. Now there is a lot of talent on both of those squads. Some of those guys you're going to see on Sundays very, very soon. I think Texas, because they were down, because they had players suspended, did not anticipate to have the talent come from some of the athletes. Again, Texas has such a plethora of just athletes. We're not necessarily skilled position players. They're athletes. They're very fast. They're minimally skilled at best. But if you ask some brothers to simply get there and tackle and show them some basic fundamentals, that's what you saw last night. In a not-so-entertaining game last night, TCU and Michigan State, you know, we saw Michigan State come back late and find a way to win a football game. TCU was controlled tempo. It was 13-0 at halftime. Looked like everything was going their way, and then the second half had to be played. Next thing you know, Michigan State finds a way to get it done, 17-16, and that was your Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. Okay. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. Because all I want to do is talk about the fact that we've sponsored and sponsored and sponsored and sponsored and sponsored. All right? You want to run down the games that have yet to be played? You've got LSU at Clemson. You've got a bunch of other fun bowls. Purdue at Oklahoma State. I believe that game is today. I'm sorry. No, that's January 1st. That is the Heart of Dallas Bowl. The Heart of Dallas. I believe that's just the Dallas owner, Jerry Jones's bowl game. When you got that much money, you can do what you want to do. Wisconsin, Stanford, I believe that's your Rose Bowl this year, presented by Vizio. Thankfully, they preserved the name of that game. NIU and Florida State, that's your Orange Bowl this year. Georgia and Nebraska, that is your Capital One Bowl. I'm not sure how Capital One Bowl got a game on January 1st, but hey, it is what it is. I remember back when bowl games used to be, you look forward to the Cotton Bowl, you look forward to the Orange Bowl, you look forward to the Sugar Bowl. And I understand these guys, the organizations needed money, and you know, hey, major corporations wanted to have their sponsorship tied to it. So we started literally sponsoring everything. We not only sponsor have a primary for the game, we sponsor the trophy. You know, the airtime on these games to buy time is, you know, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars on a week-to-week basis, by a minute-to-minute basis in many cases. So, hey, it is what it is. This is the world as we know it today. So look forward to what should be some really, really entertaining football. If you're a college head, Mississippi State, what game is this? Is that Mississippi State versus Northwestern? It is. In the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl. At least they preserve the name. It's the Gator Bowl. Okay? And that also will be on January 1st, noon kickoff. Northwestern has come a very long way. Pat's done a great job within that program. South Carolina takes on Michigan also. That is also on January day. That is the Outback Bowl. Outback Bowl has been around for a lot of years. Let's see. We told you that NIU and FSU, that's your Orange Bowl. And, of course, the national title game January 7th is Notre Dame at Alabama. So, well, enough college football, okay? Let's talk a little bit of NBA. Why? Well, because we can. And what just stopped? Something just crashed. It doesn't matter. To the NBA. Let's just run down your standings real quick. Let you know where everybody's doing. I mean, well, there are some changes. The firing of Avery Johnson in Brooklyn is a bit of a big deal. Brooklyn's kind of fallen off. They won their last two games under Carlos Simo, but, you know, let's face it, the last 10 has not gone well for them. Don't exactly know what happened between the ownership and Avery Johnson, but that relationship is now ended. So let's run down it right now. 1-8 each conference. Let you know where everyone's at. Miami leads the East. New York is number 2. Atlanta's number 3. Milwaukee's 4. Tied with the Bulls at 5, Indiana's 6. Brooklyn in the playoff line is number 7. The 8 seed right now are the Boston Celtics, one game under 500 at 14-15. The Miami Heat currently boast a 20-8 record, and that is not the best record in basketball. That lives with the Los Angeles Clippers, who have been the hottest team in basketball, now winning 16 straight. They're 24-6, followed by Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Memphis, Golden State, Houston, Denver, and then a just one game over 500 Minnesota Timberwolves squad. Here's what you don't see, and I know this was, many of you trip on this. No, the Lakers are not in the playoff hunt yet. It's only 30 games into the season. The season's 82 games long. You will hear from the Lakers. They seem to have figured it out now that Steve Nash is back. Dwight Howard is healthy. Pau Gasol is healthy. Look for the Lakers to go on a bit of a run. They just want to get in, I'm sure, at this point. The Dallas Mavericks have lost 5 straight. So I don't know what the deal with the Dallas Mavericks are, but you know, long and gone are the days, apparently, when we used to see Dallas, Phoenix, and Sacramento always in the playoff hunt. They've been supplanted by the Oklahoma City's Memphis Grizzlies. And uniquely enough this year, a Golden State Warrior team, which is 11 games over 500 at 21-10, having won their last 3. Strange times are these. And L.A. Clippers, again, 24-6, playing literally out of their mind basketball right now. Chris Paul has a team playing at such a high level. Are you seeing a forecast of what's to come? We know we'll hear from the L.A. Clippers. We know we're going to hear from Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. Expect to hear from San Antonio. Do not quit or go silent on Memphis. Memphis is a very good team. Zach Randolph and those boys playing good basketball. Golden State may be a bit of an anomaly. Don't know. James Harden has the Houston Rockets playing well. The Nuggets, I think they're going to limp into the playoffs just because. Not sure what's going on with the Minnesota Timberwolves. To the East, Well, that's Miami, LeBron, Wade, Bosch. They're going to be there. New York is playing out of its mind right now. They're going to be there. Don't know if Atlanta has enough horsepower to stay around. Milwaukee's played better. The Bulls without Derrick Rose, certainly not the same squad. Indiana is kind of an anomaly because they can turn it on and go on a run and shock some teams. Brooklyn with Deron Williams, a very, very formidable team. Again, still some pieces that have got to just kind of come together. And Boston, well, they lost Ray Ray, as you know. Ray Ray's down in Miami with the other big boys. So Boston may limp along, but I don't know if Boston's going to have enough horsepower to make any dent whatsoever in the NBA this year. So that's it for your NBA love. There's no NHL love because, well, there's no game. The sad thing about that is we get further and further along in this lockout. The season is truly lost. I've been running around this nation the last, last few weeks with my Blackhawks 2010 championship jacket on as my ode to the NHL. I need to be angry as a fan. I really do. One of the greatest games in our nation is sitting still. It's sitting idle. Players have gone to other countries to play just so they can play. And yet the National Hockey League and the great markets that support that game are sitting with idle rinks. No butts in seats, no pucks being dropped, no Lord Stanley's Cup being talked about. And it is an absolute abomination, and it is a shame. And the people in charge really, really should be ashamed of themselves. For me as a fan, I'll come back. But I'll come back on my own terms. This is getting to be just about as bad as the baseball strike of 94. Yeah, we might have blamed a bunch of the owners for that whole thing, especially if you were a Chicago White Sox fan, because that was going to be a great year for them. It is what it is. My fandom for the Blackhawks, that probably won't change. I probably won't watch right away because I'll be a little anal. But when all is said and done, I'll welcome the game back the same way we welcome baseball back, because that's what we do, because we're fans. All right, to the more sports category today. There was a UFC thing last night, which I'm trying to find now. So let's go back to the main and let's touch it from there. That will be a little easier. Velasquez, UFC 155, took precedence last night in mixed martial art world. Cain Velasquez regains title. I'm left to believe that means obviously he won. It wasn't a matter of winning. It was a matter of what did he win to, what did he do to get this thing accomplished. Reclaimed. The man who took from 13 months ago on a 64-second knockout in utterly dominant fashion in the UFC 155 main event in the MGM Grand on Saturday. The fact Dos Santos survived all five rounds was an impressive feat in and of itself, given Velasquez's total domination. I'm just reading from this site. The scorecards reflected the one-sidedness of the bout, so it was a unanimous decision. Congratulations to Cain Velasquez for regaining his title. Just a reminder for those of you looking forward to January 7th, hint, hint, Notre Dame Irish fans, there are people out here that believe you shouldn't even be on the field with Alabama. I don't know why, and if I'm you, I'm a little heated by that. You're undefeated. You're the number one team in the country. You deserve to be there. You deserve to be at the top of the heap. And because Alabama's got a little history, they think that you don't belong on the field. You have every right, Notre Dame Irish fans, every right to be a little bit edgy right now. Think I would be. Think I'd be itching. If I'm Manti Te'o, I want that game to kick off tomorrow. You don't want to wait. But you got to wait because that's how it's all set up. January 7th is on its way. All right. A couple of tidbits and notes. Let's see. Hornets extend Bobcats losing streak to 18. P.J. Carlissimo, 2-0 after guiding the Brooklyn Nets. Now hangs out with Pokerov, the owner. And, of course, they'll probably meet with Jay-Z as well. Serena back. Reese is in return. Is that it? Can we get back to NFL now? Can we get back to the game that matters? Can we get back to the game? Can we get back to the game? For my money, the NFL, just right now, by far, the game. The best game on television. The best game going right now. I'm sorry. And I know when all is said and done and we focus, what do we do after football ends? Most of us men, most of us, not all, but most of us, we have a moment of lull and sulk. We literally sulk. Yeah, if you can't find something cold to drink in a football game, and then we're talking about good football now, not just one of those, kind of games. What do? You sulk for a minute, you tighten up your bootstraps, and you probably go find some partners and some friends, and you start talking about March Madness. Because that's what's next. Notice we skipped right over the NBA. The NBA will be fine. We'll get to the NBA Finals. We'll get to the playoffs. And in those markets where there are playoff games, it'll be a little exciting. But we go right to March Madness. Right to the college game. Just completely overlook the NBA. And it's almost as if the NBA, despite its successes with LeBron, Dwayne Wade, the successes of Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and the stories out of Oklahoma City, the Kobe Bryants of the world, we kind of gloss right over. The NBA has lost a lot of its fervor. And this is where I think the NHL really missed its opportunity. The NHL should have easily been that void. The game is good enough. Now check this out. Last night I'm in St. Louis, and I'm having a good time, hanging out with friends. And we go down to a place just right across the street from the brand new Busch Stadium. It's called BB's. If you ever get a chance to go to St. Louis, go hang out at BB's. There's some great live blues there, some great music, some absolutely awesome people there. You'll enjoy it. Go to BB's. But I'm in BB's last night, meeting some new people, having a great time, hanging out with the band. Got a couple of CDs, got them autographed by the guys. It's just a great, great time. And I walked in the door with my Chicago Blackhawks coat on. The first thing someone says to me is, "Hey, man, this is blues country." And I nodded my head, and then I showed them it was a 2010 championship coat. And then they just smiled. And the smile quickly turned to sadness because no one's playing the game right now. They're not playing. They are not playing the game. If the Blues aren't skating, the Blackhawks aren't skating. Sad, sad, sad. Well, a couple of tequila shots later, you kind of forget all about that. Because the reality is, it's a great game, and it's out of our hands. And it's just sad. Disappointing, sad. Disappointing, sad. Disappointing, sad. You know what? It was St. Louis. So, ode to St. Louis. How do we do that? By playing some blues. We'll play that in the background as we continue to roll on. 17-17 left at the ride. The fastest sport on a win or go home Sunday morning. Pre-game show. The pre-game show. If you're watching the NFC games, watching the AFC games, they'll be on your CBS affiliate. For those who get something for the night, get the Cowboys, that'll be on NBC. There is no Monday Night Fair anymore. The whole Monday Night games will be done. Because what do we do after this? It is all about the playoffs, and there will be no break. We playoffs. What's that? Wait. Something happen today, and you will know where your team is going. Hopefully, your team is in the playoff hunt and doing well. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. Right back to you. We're going to take. Breath and realize how dangerous today could actually be for our boys.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
Back on the ride. 15 to go in the show. The fastest 60 minutes of sports rolls on. We touched on what we needed to touch on today. Again, win and go home. We've given you the NFL playoff machine. What's going to happen? Is your team in? Are they in? What is the scenario that has to make your team eligible for the playoffs? A Dallas victory over the Redskins means Dallas is in. A Redskins victory tonight, and the Redskins are in. There is very, 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 well, here, for those of you in the New York market trying to figure out how the New York Giants can get into the playoffs, boy, do you need a whole lot of help. You need the Lions to beat the Bears. You need Green Bay to beat Minnesota. Where are the Giants at? Where are the Giants at? Even that win, you need a Seattle loss. Seattle loss makes it the fifth seed. The Niners would have to lose. They're trying to figure out a way to get the Giants into the playoffs. Minnesota wins in their end, so Green Bay has to win that to knock Minnesota out. The Giants have to win. Does Dallas then have to win? Dallas has to beat Washington. The Saints have to win. That means nothing. Oh, we're missing something, guys. Oh, the Bears win in their end if Green Bay wins that game. There's a variable somewhere that I'm apparently missing that actually allows the New York Giants to make the playoffs. I think the Cowboys have to beat the Redskins. The Giants have to beat the Eagles. Maybe it doesn't matter if Seattle wins or loses. Seattle wins, they win the division. The Niners would have to lose the Cardinals. You know, it's really, really hard. I'm trying to figure out. There is a mathematical way that the Giants can still make the playoffs, but I don't see it. That's just odd. Okay. All right. Normally I can figure that out, guys. I do apologize. Maybe my brain is on somewhat hiatus right now. After a night of St. Louis, hanging out with great people, bluesing it up left and right, live blues. Doesn't get much better than that. If you ever get down to St. Louis, down near the brand new Busch Stadium, you've got to check out BB's. And there's a strip down there with just a great live entertainment that you can check out. You know, the cover charge might be, $5 in each place, but you will not be disappointed. Just get down there, some great food. Great. Again, it's not called barbecue. It is truly called barbecue. Okay. All right. So let's run down this. What do we got? Where are we at on time? We got 12 minutes. All right, cool. Let's do this. Let's run down some of the scenarios from each team's perspective. And, okay. Yeah, this will cover everything. Okay. So, in the AFC, if the Texans beat the Colts, they are the number one seed. Colts are not playing for anything. Okay, so the Colts are in. If the Broncos beat the Chiefs and the Texans lose, they are the number one seed. Chiefs are not playing for anything. Again, the Broncos beat the Chiefs and the Texans win. Broncos are the two seed. So there you go. If the Patriots beat the Dolphins and both the Texans and Broncos lose, they are the number one seed. The Dolphins are not playing for anything, obviously. If the Patriots, Broncos, and Texans all win, Patriots will be the three seed, blah, blah, blah. If the Ravens beat the Bengals and the Patriots lose, they are the three seed because they hold a tiebreaker over the Patriots. The Bengals aren't playing for anything. If they lose or the Patriots win, they're in at number four seed regardless. The Colts will be the five seed no matter what happens. The Bengals will be the six seed no matter what happens. The most likely scenario, maybe the Bengals will lay down against the Ravens because they'd prefer to play them in the first round instead of the Patriots. But the last time they played either, week one, the Ravens pasted them. And the Patriots will probably beat the Dolphins anyway. The most likely scenario is that every team, which has something at stake in these wins, they're almost invariably playing teams that really don't. And thus, playoff order is exactly what you see it is today. On the NFC side of things, the Falcons are the number one seed no matter what. If the Packers beat the Vikings, they are the number two seed. The Vikings are hanging on to the NFC's final playoff spot and control their own destiny. The Packers are also guaranteed the two seed in the event of a 49er loss. If the 49ers beat the Cardinals and the Packers lose to the Vikings, the 49ers are the two seed. The Cardinals playing for nothing. If they beat the Cardinals and Packers, beat the Vikings, they're the NFC West Championships, and thus they get the three seed. If the Redskins beat the Cowboys, they are the four seed. Again, that's the division winner. The Cowboys are playing for the NFC East and a playoff berth. If they lose to the Cowboys, they lose the NFC East, but still could make the playoffs if the Vikings lose to the Packers and the Bears lose to the Lions. Very unlikely. If the Vikings beat the Packers, they are the number six seed. The Packers are playing for their first round bye. Alternatively, they can lose and still make the playoffs if the Bears, Giants, and Cowboys also lose. If the Cowboys beat the Redskins and they get the number four seed along with the NFC title, the Redskins are playing for the same thing. If they lose, they're out of the playoffs. It's that simple. For the Bears, if the Bears beat the Lions and the Packers beat the Vikings, the Bears are the sixth seed. Lions playing for nothing but spoiler roles. Now, here's the Giants scenario for those of you in New York. If the Giants beat the Eagles and the Cowboys lose to the Redskins and the Lions beat the Bears and the Packers beat the Vikings, the Giants limp in as the sixth seed. Eagles already out. The most likely scenario, the first six above, but swap out the Vikings for the Bears, who merely have to beat a Lions team that's playing out the string and wait for the Packers to beat the Vikings. The Vikings own the tiebreaker now, but the NFC North records won't matter when the Bears have the better season record. Of course, the Bears are perfectly capable of losing to the Lions. Bears won 13-7 at home in October, even when the Lions don't care. And the Vikings played the Packers tough earlier this month. So who knows? Vegas will tell you that the Redskins are favored, but that game seems like a near toss-up as well. Games to watch in the AFC, any of the top three getting upset would shake up, well, it won't shake up a lot. Houston and Indianapolis might be the one to watch there, and Baltimore Cincinnati could be interesting depending on what the Bengals decide is in their best interest. But basically, stay away from the AFC. In the NFC, Dallas at Washington, the night game is essentially do or die for both teams, while Minnesota upsetting Green Bay would have considerable ripple effect. All right? So there you go. Hope that makes sense. Have we confused the hell out of you yet? It wouldn't surprise me if we have. Anyway, welcome to playoff football. Welcome to win or go home. 9 minutes. I take that back. 7.5 minutes. 7.5 minutes in this morning's ride. And I think we're done, guys. I think we're done. Today will be the American epidemic known as the National Football League. There'll be more guys yelling, screaming, and throwing things at the TV sets this week than they were last week in their fantasy playoffs. You know, I played fantasy in two different leagues, and I haven't even bothered to even go see where I finished. I'm just bad. Just terrible. I should be flogged. I really should. In the meantime...
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Don't ask me where that came from or why I did that. All right. Happy holidays, everybody. Hope you had a great Christmas. Hope you're getting ready to have a safe and wonderful New Year's celebration. 2013 is upon us. The world did not end on the 21st of December. Someone may want to have a conversation with the Mayans about that. In the meantime, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. I get to play Santa Claus here in the next 24 to 48 hours for some really, really wonderful people. So for those of you who can hear my voice, expect to see me at some point very, very soon. In the meantime, what do you want your identity to be? If you're a football fan, put on your gear today. If it's not too cold where you're at, fire up your grill. Put your favorite veggie on there, put your favorite dish on there, and get ready for what should be a fun, fun day. Again, if you're going to the pregame shows here in about 6-7 minutes, everything on Fox will be your NFC related. Everything on CBS will be AFC related. The big game tonight, Redskins, Cowboys on NBC, 8:20 Eastern time, going to be a whole lot of fun. Clear your slate. Turn your cell phones off. Stop texting, okay? If you don't have to, don't do it. Get yourself somewhere and sit down and enjoy some great football. But that's going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. We love you. Nothing you can do about it. Much love to Richmond Park. Much love to St. Louis. Ed, I love you. Thank you for following the blogs all these years. Thank you for following me. I still believe Jay Cutler is a quarterback that can get it done for the Bears. I know that may surprise you, but I do believe that the Bears are one good head coach away from being an awfully good football team. There, I said it. I stand by it. I am nothing more than a great fan. I love you guys. We'll see you next time. As always, only on the fastest 60 Minutes Sports. That's going to do it. Have a great Sunday of football. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.